Age of Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday night, March 26th, 2023. Live every Sunday night from the facilities of Ocelli.com, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. The first hour is The Age of Transition. Second hour is Uncle the Broadcast. So thank you for listening live. Thank you for listening in podcast form, however you listen. We appreciate that. Thank you for doing that and for sharing the show around and for all of your support. Many ways to support the show. Go on over to my website, theageoftransitions.com. Best way to do it is to buy a book. Revolve Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood, have paperback or ebook copies available. Also have t-shirts for The Age of Transitions, have t-shirts for Uncle the Podcast. They're up at my website as well. And the Patreon campaign still going. Thank you everybody for your support there and continuing to keep the show going. Thank you very much for that. And the affiliate links, do not forget those. If you have been considering starting a podcast, consider using Libsyn as your podcast hosting service because it makes life easy, I can tell you. It makes it very simple. Once you have your podcast file, you upload it to Libsyn, and you can really send it out everywhere you need to. And Libsyn can do a lot. And yeah, just you don't have to worry about where you're storing it and sending it out to all of the big podcatchers. Very simple with that. If you want to use that service, you can use my promo code, Franz, or you can click through the link on my website and you will get 2 months of Libsyn for free. So that's pretty cool.
Hey, Aaron, really quickly, really, really quickly, and I know I and my apologies, by the way, I got a complaint about I stepped on your show too much last week. I know you didn't complain, but I got an email. Shut up, it's Aaron's show. Okay, sorry. Anyway, really fast, just want to let people know the Ocelli Effect t-shirt is no longer available. I was thinking not mention it, but you know what? We'll just won't mention it. We will mention it. It is no longer available. At theageoftransitions.com. Nope. No issue there, no problem there, but there are still Age of Transition shirts and Uncle shirts. However, I do have one pressurized question for you because I was asked directly in a phone call earlier this week about a certain shirt going to Australia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, Mr. Flash's shirt is on the way. Okay. I put a couple of extra things in the mailer because it took me forever to send it out. But awesome. Yeah, it's on its way. Usually it takes a little while to get to Australia.
No. Hey, look.
It's definitely in transit.
Yeah, no, patience is cool. I just want to make sure it was in transit because I was asked directly about it. And I wanted to make sure about it because it's been a little while. You owed the kid a shirt. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it.
And no, appreciate it, man. Not trying to pressure you or give you a problem. Just want. I forgot to mention it. You and I had a little pre-show chat about a bunch of things real fast, but I forgot to throw that in. So I said, "Oh, to hell with it. I'll open my mic and I'll take my complaint this week." Promise, guys, I'll shut up now. But you can be part of the show. You listening right now? If you're hearing us live on the 26th day of March. 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. Yeah, if you're hearing us live just after, let's see, just after 10 p.m. Eastern, about 12 minutes after as I speak, or 13 minutes after Eastern, if you're hearing us live, otherwise you need a time machine, 319-527-5016, or you may message me, charles.ocelli on Skype, ask me to call you into the show, and I will call you. Now that we have all those rules straight, and I know you said it even better than me, Aaron, thank you. And just want to say, really, really cool. I got my $2 also, update for everybody. I got my $2 bill from Uncle for the two Super Bowl bets, which, you know, oddly enough, I have not won two Super Bowl bets ever in a row. So I've only picked, I think, four Super Bowl picks correctly in my entire life. Two of them in a row, I had a dollar on it with Uncle both times, and he honored that bet with a $2 bill a few days ago. So I just wanted to give everybody that update. And thanks, Aaron. Sorry to interrupt, but obviously support the show. Hell, you know, throw something in to the donate button, or you have a donate button at your website at the Age of Transitions, right?
Yes, I believe I do. It's been so long, I can't even. Well, I'm pretty sure. I think there should be a donate PayPal button there.
Okay.
I'm almost certain that there is. I forget where I put it, if it's on the homepage or the store page, but it's on there, I do believe. Yeah.
It's in there somewhere. And either way, look, as he said, buy a book. And by the way, don't just buy a book because you want to support, but it's an awesome book, which I recommend to many people and have happily gotten reviews from people personally who didn't write them online for you, Aaron, sorry, but they did tell me that they really enjoyed the book and were pleased with the recommendation. Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood, very cool cover, very good stuff, and really, I'd love to see if you were to write yet another book. I'd love to see it. Anyways, I'll leave it at that. I'll shut up now, but the Age of Transitions and Uncle Shirts are tie-dyed, still available at theageoftransitions.com, but the Ocelli Effect shirt, no longer available, folks. So if you got one, you got one of those rare shirts. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Thanks.
All right. Sounds good, Chuck. Yeah, I mean, all the shirts are just like a limited run. I'm just doing one run of all these shirts and then no more. I might, if there's a demand for it later, I might do another shirt. I actually have an idea, if I get around to it, of an idea of this just piece of art I'd like to turn into a shirt. But I've just been incredibly busy the past couple of years, really, and thus, you know, me fumbling to even get to the post office. It's pathetic.
You know, so I lied. I came back on the mic. I have a question for you, actually, and I should have asked this to you privately, but I want you to ponder it anyhow. I'm considering doing – we did the Ocelli Effect hats a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they were embroidered hats. I'm pretty sure Uncle had one.
Yeah, Uncle still wears his sometimes. Yeah, he has it still.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's been a few years, and if people have been wearing them, they're probably getting worn out. I am currently in the process of finding another reasonably priced manufacturer for Ocelli Effect hats for the network, and as a thank you for supporting the network like I did last time. I was curious, though, because I know some people might go, look, I already got an Ocelli hat. Would you be willing to go in on that for network support, maybe, and do an Uncle hat and an Age of Transitions hat, which would require nothing but probably giving me a piece of artwork that the embroidery people can work with?
Yeah. I was just thinking about, like, an embroidery would look cool. Like the Age of Transitions type with like a nice embroidery could be kind of cool.
Right.
Likewise, maybe the Uncle might have to play around with the Uncle logo a little to make the embroidery look good. But well, I think that could be cool too. Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. But you know what? Like you just and I just got a few stickers from you. Do you have a lot of those stickers laying around?
The Uncle ones you're talking about?
Yeah.
I still do actually have a few of the Uncle reflective stickers. If listeners are interested in those, I could send me an address. I could just send some in an envelope, honestly. If you want like one or two of those, I could send those out. Yeah,
yeah, I do that every now and then with the – and I just sent out a batch this week of a bunch of you know, the cool – which, by the way, the artist is not named on there, but the Godfather Artistry, the Puppet Hand Ocelli Syndicate. Yeah. Is actually credit Aaron Franz. So I sent out a bunch of those and got to send out a couple of Uncle stickers in the last couple of envelopes I sent out yesterday. But if people want those, they can get them from you. I was just thinking, though, that the single tone, the single color that you have for the stickers, if you have the Uncle artwork in an outline like that in the Age of Transitions in a simplified one, again, just in order to keep costs down, single color.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, I hear you. Yeah, you could do the outline version of the type would probably work good on the Age of Transitions.
Well,
yeah.
If you give me the Age of Transitions in either gray or blue, okay, that would be extremely helpful. Uh-huh. And the Uncle one, you could probably just do in a black silhouette, and I think people would definitely dig, and we would definitely have people interested in getting Uncle hats, Age of Transition hats, and maybe a new Ocelli Effect hat. And I might be able to offer all three of those in the coming months as a thank you for a donation to the network, if you're cool with doing that. and we can talk about the money end of it later or whatever, but I wanted to see if you wanted to participate in that. And I'm going to ask Graves, too, when I get a chance.
Yeah, that could be cool. And now that we're talking about it and I'm thinking about it, it might – the look of the Age of Transitions hat might look really cool. This might be something I like. Mm-hmm. Would be if you found a gray hat and then you printed the Age of Transitions type in that blue color, which would scintillate on like a sort of medium or lighter color gray, it would end up so you could barely even read the damn thing, honestly. But I really love that look where the it's – I'm kind of talking like art school talk, but if you get the color – two colors on top of each other that are very same. They don't contrast each other because of like right. the lightness, darkness of it. If they're the same, then it has this effect where like they kind of blend together. But what is called is it scintillates. Like it's this weird yeah. visual sort of thing that it's kind of like visual art technique.
Well, for everybody who doesn't, like visual yeah, art. For everybody who doesn't know, you know, Aaron is actually a trained artiste. So mm-hmm. thing is. What I had in mind, and since we're talking about this again, I'm going to shut up, and I know I'm going to get another complaint letter. I'm sorry, but I think this is interesting. Anyhow, what about if we had a gray hat, which had a gray bill mm-hmm. and a white hat, right? And we mm-hmm. had a blue Age of Transitions on it, or the correct blue for the bill, which is a separate color, white hat. Gray Age of Transitions.
Perhaps. Yeah, I'd have to look and think about it some more. But yeah, maybe.
Well, because I'm a manufacturer.
A white yeah. hat would work. White would be a great color for the uncle hat. And then you do right. the black print of the show. And it would look like the logo looks like anyway.
Right. And we could either do a yellow bill or a black bill, because the one manufacturer, the first manufacturer I tested with this was a fail. Totally terrible. And I have the hat. I might put a picture of it up online because people look at it and laugh at how bad it is. But this other company I'm looking at right now, I'm going to have to send them artwork for a test. So what I'll do is I'll have them make a test of your hat. And mm-hmm. see if it comes out cool, because they actually offer these two-tone hats where you can have a different colored bill from the hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In which case, I might make mine black with a gray bill and have a white logo on it, because my black, white, gray is my theme, sort of. And yours yeah. is like white, gray, and blue, you know, for Age of Transitions. And then Uncle is black and yellow and white, kind of.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm thinking maybe we could have these, you know, a little more color in the hat, right? As opposed to the black one, which I got last time. And that would differentiate. You'd have a different hat for if you wanted another Ocelli hat. Well, now I got one that's, you know, different. And also Age of Transitions and Uncle hats. And I have no idea how in the hell we're going to do Graves logo. But if we created a single tone on that, which, by the way, again, credit where credit's due, who helped me with the, with the Get Mad with Chris Graves logo.
I drew that. Yeah, I did that on...
Aaron drew that. Said, yes. Yeah. So I want you to take credit for these things, man, because you're contributing to the look and the overall aesthetic of a lot of things here. So with your permission, I'm thinking about doing that, and obviously with the permission of the hosts, and we'll figure out what to do about it. But in support of the network, maybe you get different hats. I mean, I can ask Jack Blood too. I don't know how he'll feel about it or what he wants to use as a logo at this point, but obviously anybody who's involved, if you want to support the network, maybe we give you a choice. You tell me which show you want a hat for, right?
When you mention like the different color brim, it that's interesting, because it could give it a real retro look, and depending on the style of the hat too, I'd like to see what style the hat is.
Exactly.
Because it's a real 90s kind of look, you know? You could like really go with that and kind of base the design off of that too.
Well, it's funky because it's a 90s look, but it's also a really retro look, like as in the 1920s when they had these two-tone hats in baseball, right? A lot of times, and you had like the button on top of the hat was like, let's just say it was a white hat and it had a black bill, like in the case of the White Sox, right? You had a black button on top, and the little air holes, right, in the cloth were also black. But the rest of the hat was white, except the bill and the logo, which gives it a 1920s look to it, right?
Okay, depending yeah, I on, got you there, yeah.
Yeah, depending on the way the hat is cut. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, again, mm-hmm. I want to get a test hat and see what it's like. And, you know, it, look, if it's a fail, maybe we'll just give away the test hat to somebody because mm-hmm. we don't like it as a product, and you'll have a one-of-a-kind hat, and we can give it away as a prize. But if it's cool and we can run with it, I'm thinking this could be something very different looking, very nice. And again, it would be like a thank you gift for supporting, not a direct sale, because these things are outrageously priced anymore. If you make something that's, you know, better than paper, it's pretty heavy price now. You know that. Even sticker prices, everything is up.
Yeah, it's a real bummer because it used to be so easy with everything, and now it just isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, with that, now I'll definitely shut up. But I wanted to throw that at you, and I didn't get to it in our little talk just before we went to air. So, but hey, the audience can listen to it, and this is interesting as well, I think. So now I'll mm-hmm. let you get into the subject of the day. Sorry, sir. And okay. You've only used about 15 minutes of your time. So, you know what I mean? You got another 45 if you want to work with it. Whatever you want to do tonight.
Got it. Okay, sounds good.
Excellent.
Well, if anybody would be interested in actually like wearing one of those hats, let me know or let Chuck know. Let us know. My email is franz@theageoftransitions.com, or you can, you know, talk to me on social media on Twitter.
Right.
Let me know that you would be interested in that. That'd be a good first step.
And I think you and I could also cooperate in putting them up on social media, like Instagram and stuff like that, like I did last time with the hats where I was taking little pictures of everybody.
Yes, yeah.
I think we can collaborate.
We took a picture of Uncle wearing your hat.
That's right.
Inside of Joshua Tree National Park. I took that picture, yeah.
So little crowd participation, a little call and response, right? So, but anyway, I like the idea, and I think it would be great to bring that back and involve everybody this time. So as long as you guys are willing to sign off on it, everybody that signs off on it will do it. We'll be able to offer them a choice, and I think that'll be great. And I don't care if it's, you know, if 100 Uncle Hats get sold and it helps us do stuff, great. You know what I mean? I don't care whose hat sells or whatever. I mean, it would just be a nice little exchange between us, right? Energetic exchange.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, as I was saying, I'd be interested to see what the hat itself looks like and the different options with like the bills and all that kind of stuff would be. Be a lot to think about. Yeah. It sounds cool. Well, yeah, I'm definitely open to the idea.
Yeah, still exploring a reasonable price, you know, and decent quality, because that's the other thing. I'm not gonna give somebody a crap hat, you know.
Yeah,
you're gonna get a decent hat. Now, the hats from last time were constructed fairly well. You know, they weren't they weren't like, you know, boutique quality, but they were definitely solid. You know, so I'm going to stick by that. Something that's decent quality, like I said, embroidered, not, you know, like iron on or none of that crap. It'll be a decent thing. Right.
Very good.
All right, brother. Thanks so much.
Got it. Yeah, no problem, Chuck. Yeah, got it. I good embroidery is awesome too, and you can play around with that a bit too. So yeah, that's cool. Perhaps. And again, if you have any interest in that idea, the hats, you would wear one, let us know. And that'll help us out immensely, because it's hard to tell on this end, like what people might want or any of that. So thank you for that. Also, let's see here. There's one other, what was it, affiliate link. The other one is if you're buying books online, thebookshop.org. Do remember that. If you buy books at all, first of all, think about buying them through this, because it's a good way to do it. And there's lots of titles you can find. You can find all sorts of interesting things. Like people have been guests on my show. You can find their books on bookshop.org. So I find that very cool, because those are the sorts of books that you can't find everywhere sometimes. Click through the link to bookshop.org on my website, theageoftransitions.com. Do your shopping, and any shopping you do there, I'll get a little kickback, and you'll be helping this show out. So there you go. Just something to keep in the back of your mind if you're buying books or even other media is available on there. So check it out sometime. This, again, is a live show on a Sunday night. If you want to call in, the number is 319-527-5016. You can use Skype to come on the show, too. If you do type a message to Chuck, he's Charles Dottocelli on Skype. So type him something. He'll bring you on the show through Skype. charles.ocelli, or call 319-527-5016. Oh, what do you know? Just on cue there, we've got a caller. So I will go to the caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Petty Jimmy James, calling from America.
All right. Yeah, I've been there before. What's up, Jimmy?
Really?
A couple times.
Oh. Hey, on the whole hat deal, you're right there in California. Can't you talk to Big Paulie?
Paulie? Who's Paulie?
Big Paulie Pelosi.
Paulie Pelosi? Is that the husband of Nancy? Is that who that is?
Yeah, you know, a.k.a. Tidy Whitey.
Is he a fashion industry guy? Is that what he does?
Oh, you better believe he is. They could pump you out 10 hats for a dollar.
Mm. Wow, that is a good price right there. Not sure how they're pulling that off.
Yeah, but... it's almost like they got slave labor.
It's likely at that price, I would think, yeah.
Wow, no, that's crazy talk, Aaron. What do those migrants do all day anyway? You know, the ones that they got caged up there in California?
Oh, like the agricultural workers that up north near Bakersfield?
No, I know what they do. They pick stuff.
Aaron, you know, legitimate question.
There are whole towns up in Northern California filled with these people that are living in absolutely horrible conditions.
A legitimate question, though, Aaron. Do you have any knowledge about whether California is one of those states where they can use prison labor for stuff like this? Because, you know, in some cases, in prisons, they have these guys that, you know, get paid like a dollar or two a day to do stuff like manufacture hats or shoes or, you know, pocketbooks, whatever. Is California one of those states?
Yeah,
it's a good question. I don't know specifically. I do know that phenomena. I don't know about California specifically.
I was curious. I don't know either. I was just curious.
Oh, I bet. I don't know offhand, but I'd be willing to bet a Hamilton that they are just offhand, just knowing the way they roll.
I would not doubt it one bit. No. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
See, this is ironic because when I was in the military, I was all the time getting crap that said, made from the school of the blind, made from the prisoners at such and such place. So, that's nice.
That's made in America. Got that going for it. Yeah. Well, boy, you've got some grievances tonight, Jimmy. What's going on over there?
I do?
I guess so.
I got grievances?
Sounds like it.
Where?
Paulie, you got a problem with Paulie over here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he has that accent, Aaron, but that's a hell of an impression.
It's not too common in California, but hey, why not?
Okay. You know, I got offered one of those blind school jobs, you know. Just so you know, at one point I was offered one of those, like, you can go manufacture along with the other blind people jobs. It was actually, I think, making wallets. Was the thing they were recruiting me for at one point when I was a teenager. Just saying.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, is that kind of like an above-board operation where you'd be getting paid a decent amount, or is it not so much that, Chuck?
Well, what it is that they make it a part of your schooling. So you go to school, and it pays for part of your tuition, and they give you, like, some token allowance based on how much work you do.
Yeah.
While you're in school, that was the offer given to me. I imagine there's a lot of configurations on that, but there are places where it's like, yeah, we'll have blind people working on sewing machines, you know, big, like, not your little sewing machine like you have at home, but, you know, big, like, commercial sewing machine type stuff where they assemble things. There was a bunch of jobs like that actually available. But,
I thought it was really cool that the apartment building I lived in a long time ago, I thought it was pretty cool. This guy, you know, he was whatever, had some kind of brain issue going on. Every day he would go to they would send the boss. He would go to work, and he'd work, and he made his own way, had an apartment. He even had a little moped he used to get around with.
Mm. Mopeds are cool.
And it made him feel good. And he got to go do something, you know, and he made stuff.
Well, that's good. Can't argue with that, I guess. Yeah.
What was it they made? I think they made packaging.
Oh, like boxes or something?
Yeah, like, I guess, yeah.
One of my all-time favorite street names is in Columbus, Ohio. It's called Corrugated Way. And once you know it, it leads right up to an industrial facility. I bet there's something to do with boxes going on in there. But that street name always cracks me up. And it could depress one if you let it, but then it's also quite humorous as well. So that's one of my favorite street names for sure. There's one in Orange that I really enjoy too, the city of Orange, California, Van Bibber. I don't know what the heck that is, but it sounds weird. So I like that one too. Those are kind of up at the top of the list for sure. So, for what that's worth.
I took a picture of some stupid little road. I mean, like a little dirt road, Compton. I looked straight out of Compton, fools.
It was like a dirt road. Nice.
Yeah, it was like. It's the opposite of real Compton.
Nice. Yep. Oh, man. What else is going on, Jimmy? What else is going on over there?
Well, we're still in winter.
Yeah, I guess officially what? It's turned to spring, but then it just depends on what your weather is actually like, huh?
Yeah. Spring's pretty much a dream here. That just doesn't happen like fall. You got your summer and you got your winter.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. Well, it's pretty good here, and we've been getting our atmospheric river with the nonstop rain. It's crazy. It looks like it's Ireland here or something. It's insane. It's. I don't remember it ever looking the way it has here in Southern California. You even go out to Landers and you look at the hills, and believe it or not, the hills are green there, which they never are. It's crazy. It's hard to even like know what to think about it.
In the desert?
Yes. The hills, like when you're driving out to Landers, there's hills on the side of the 247 highway, and typically, you know, they're they're dry and rocky, no color green on them. But now it's been raining so much that there's all sorts of like, you know, different sort of weeds and stuff growing, and it's turned green. It's something else. I don't remember ever seeing that.
Well, good for you guys. We're getting less precipitation than normal.
Yeah.
We must begin our access.
Oh yeah, it's so much. It's insane. The poppies are real good this year too, so that's good.
Huh.
California poppies. Very beautiful.
But those aren't the good ones.
I guess not. Yeah, I don't believe you can make opium out of them. However, I don't know. My wife and I were discussing that the other day. I'm like, could you do that? I don't know. It's a poppy, right? But mainly it's just pretty to look at on the hills. Bright orange flower. Very cool. State flower.
They are pretty flowers. It's the symbol of the VFW, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
For American, I don't know.
One of them uses it.
There's a question for both of you guys. First, just business things. As you know, as you may or may not notice, I've always been sending you guys whatever support through PayPal, because it's my understanding that this works out better for you guys than Patreon. Would that be right?
Oh, you're talking about like a direct donation through PayPal. Is that better than Patreon? Is that the question?
Yeah, because I've been paying you guys through whatever. I've been using PayPal instead of Patreon because it's my understanding you get more of the money on your end.
I think so, yeah. It should be more because, yeah, Patreon does take a chunk. And then PayPal, there's fees involved, but beyond the fees, it's nothing other than that, which aren't the fees aren't too bad on PayPal. So that would be a bit better.
Yeah, unless it's a larger donation. Unless it's a larger donation at one time. Yeah, PayPal is the simplest thing because they only take a tiny fee, really. It's almost direct. Especially, and you know what? They take zero fee if you choose to send it as just money you're sending to friends or family. There's no fee involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have a way where you can do it with zero fee or you know, low.
Yeah.
The only problem there is then I can't get into the Patreon stuff.
Well, that's not a problem for me. All you got to do is tell me that you want in. I think don't you already have a password at my site?
I do, but it's not on this phone.
Okay. Well, you know what you do? Send me an email. Okay. And tell me which email address you want to be able to sign in under. All right. And I'll send you either a brand new password or a password reset, and boom, you'll have it. You can straight away do that. You've already done plenty, so I'll just set you up an account that way, and that's that. You'll have mine.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure. I think Aaron puts out like one extra Patreon thing a month or something, right?
Typically, it's been too long since I put one up, but I'll be back. I've got a lot of backlog stuff I just want to post. I have to spend a day posting a bunch of stuff, so it's on the way. On the way, I promise.
And I'm sure you could work something out with Aaron. You know, I mean, you guys are still using those chairs. Jimmy James got you guys chairs, right?
Yeah, they're right here. Yeah. Using the chairs. Yeah, thank you, Jimmy.
It's funny. I gotta get a new chair. I don't know if you noticed. Well, I haven't been doing too many live shows, but my chair is now noisy.
Hold on, Chuck. Don't you go chair buying, Chuck. Don't you do that.
Well, I wasn't expecting you. I was just saying I got a nasty chair now.
So. I'm the chairman.
Hey, if that's what you want to volunteer for, you'd be doing a hell of a service. But I wasn't fishing for a chair. Whatever material that you're not getting, just let me know. I'll take care of you, Jimmy James. No problem. Okay, but Aaron's stuff is Aaron's. It's separate.
The other day, I was going nuts trying to find something JFK in an interview because I had to. Oh, that Henry Hank Hill guy. Because I was reading another thing about a totally different guy named Tom Hill, and I couldn't remember the dude's first name. I was like, holy crap. Could Tom Hill been the guy?
Well, there's about six or seven characters named Hill that you could run across in the JFK stuff, honestly.
Yeah. It's a lot of hills. It's a hilly topic, that's for sure. No doubt about it. It's peaks and troughs.
Aren't yeah, there? That was my attempt at a rim shot.
There really was a Hank Hill in Dealey Plaza, Aaron. What do you think about that?
True.
Boy, I'll tell you what. This angle, I don't see anything.
I tell you what, there's a wreck going on down there.
I don't know anything except that I was selling propane and propane accessories.
People say they got seen you walking down the road with a shotgun, with a rifle case. That is outrageous.
Oh. I think that was his, like, thing of terror, right? He would go, oh. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, just send me an email, Jimmy James, so I know which email to direct it to, and I'll get you passwords for my stuff, whatever it is. Done.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. We're going to send all sorts of stuff up here on the show tonight. We're getting our act together here, so it's good. But yeah, anything else tonight, Jimmy? Anything else you got to bring to the table, or is that it?
No, I don't even. yeah. I mean, actually, yes, there was something I wanted to bring
okay,
up.
Okay, let's hear it. I want to hear it. What do you got?
I got to remember. I got sidetracked with hats and some other things.
All right.
What was... Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that sovereign citizen kid dude getting shot to death?
No. Where did this happen?
I don't know where. Somewhere in the U.S.
Was it a standoff situation, I assume, or what was going on?
No, they just pulled him over.
The police.
Because he had a made up license plate and license and things just escalated. She told him to get out of the car. He wouldn't get out of the car, so she called back up. And, of course, once you get a gang of them.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so a sovereign citizen killed by the police. Okay, yeah, all right. No, I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, 40 rounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, you tell me a story that has to go like somebody got pulled over and shot by the police, I just say, yeah, of course that happened.
Well, oddly enough, wasn't there some a scuffle right in Riverside just like this, like a couple days ago? Wasn't there some big thing with the cops trying to chase somebody down with helicopters and stuff? I mean, I don't think it was the sovereign citizen guy, but...
Maybe. I didn't hear about it, but I would... I mean, the helicopter chases happen all the time out here in Southern California.
Well, that's
so.
A Californian sport right there. I mean, the cops
much.
Using helicopters, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, I was just curious because I remember hearing that, too. Jimmy James just reminded me because he brought this up on the Friday show, I think. Was it the Friday show you brought it up, Jimmy James? The sovereign citizen guy?
Yes, but it might have been the week before.
Well, one of those shows, I know you did, and I'll be honest with you, I dropped the ball here because I meant to go look in on that, and I never did. But I was just thinking a couple of days ago, maybe, but you're not paying attention to your local news, are you, Aaron?
No, I try okay. not to. I mean, if you ask my mother-in-law, she'd probably know, but not me.
Okay. So maybe you need to get a news brief from your mother-in-law during the
before every night before here. I'm like, no. What happened this week?
No. I'm saying during your show. No, I'm saying during your show, we could call your mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Aaron's mother-in-law with a news break. No,
she probably heard of that. If there was that helicopter thing in Riverside, she probably heard of that.
But that would be a great idea, like a 5 minutes. I'm sorry, I'm pitching ideas at you, and I promise to be quiet, and I'm not being quiet at all because I'm a jerk. So sorry again, but I think that would be awesome for local news. Let's go to my mother-in-law. Dun dun dun. We could get her theme music and everything.
All the important news.
All that sovereign citizen stuff got me to thinking about these Magna Card old people. Are you familiar with this?
Magna
or even
Carta.
Part of this?
Oh, I have people asking me to bring those guys back on. Yeah.
No, who is this? I don't know if I'm familiar with this. What's this group?
It's the same. It's not the exact same group. The same mindset. They consider themselves sovereign citizen. Would that be about right, Chuck?
Well, I wouldn't characterize it exactly that way. I'll put it to you this way: what they feel as though is reality is this. In 1215, you have a version of the Magna Carta which is legitimate and is still standing according to their way of thinking. And if that is the case and we all are subject to this particular legal writ, then everything else is not necessary. A whole bunch of laws, a whole bunch of things. It effectively does make one a sovereign. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It effectively does that, but it's based on the fact that this edict was issued and legally stands and should still continue to stand. And philosophically...
Hold it there, Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck, if you do get these guys, I would like to discuss this with them quite honestly.
Right.
Because, again, just to refresh my memory to make sure I wasn't totally crazy, I went back and totally reread the history. And pretty much everything they say is not correct.
Well, I would not say that. What I would say is that there is a question here. Like, you know, look, if you don't own a place and you move into it and you act like you're owning it and you have false paperwork that says you own it, and it turns out that you actually had no legal claim to that property, right, and somebody can prove retroactively that you were not supposed to have taken possession of it, you can be removed from it if you can prove legally that there was a standing situation that is previous to whatever it is occurred, right? So there is an argument here that there are previously standing things like, you know, say, our Constitution, which has been subverted, which stands long before a whole bunch of other things that have been erected in opposition to it, right? One might argue that that should not have occurred, and retroactively, we should remove all of the things that came after, which have now subverted the original thing, which should still stand. I find that argument interesting. I wouldn't say that everything they're saying is absolutely false. I would say that there is a way of looking at this, just like going back to, you know, what do they call that? It's not just being a constitutionalist, but it's like being an originalist or something like that, they call it, right? If you go back to strictly what the Constitution said to begin with, the core of it, the Bill of Rights, effectively. If you go back to just that, all of that should still stand, and things that contradict it should not be contradicting it.
Oh, you're talking about
right,
and legal. You're talking about the legal philosophy.
Yeah,
that people do that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that legally, there's a possibility that if you can establish that there is a previous standing that was never dissolved, was never overridden by something else,
it never
right?
Was. Here's my whole problem with their whole tales. The Great Charter, the Magna Carta of 1215, I guess.
There were various versions of it, but the one they stick to is 1215.
No, hold on.
Yes, there were various.
One of the original copies are still in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3,500 words, all in Latin. I've read this thing. For one thing, it doesn't apply to you, me, or any peasant.
Okay.
It's only... Well, it only applied to barons, freemen.
Okay.
So all that thing did was get rid of Little John and created 500 Little Johns.
Okay,
because
I'm not
the barons.
Yeah, but look, I don't want to devolve into this argument because I'm not on any side of it. I'm just looking at it objectively.
Well, it's not an argument. I'm just telling you what the history is. So
I know.
I'll see how these guys come up with these alternative histories.
Well, for that,
and
we
it's
would
also worth pointing out.
Yeah,
that after John was killed, well, first that John sent it to the Pope and then had the whole thing annulled, basically. And then, he died pretty quickly. And then his son was the one that actually brought it back. There's
okay.
No changes in there.
But there are changes from one version of it to another. One, two. Look, you could take this all the way back to the original declarations by what? It depends on what you think takes supremacy. I mean, from a certain perspective, the Catholic Church has claimed possession of every single living being on Earth. If you observe their declaration, I'm just saying it is a declaration which was put in public. And if that is, I'm just saying these are things that can be examined. I don't want to go into the arguments because I'm not here to, I'm not able and not prepared and not read in on it to go one way or the other. But it is something to look at if you have something that should be the supreme law or the supreme standing of people or whatever. If it is, then it should be, right?
The Magna Carta is still in effect, which wasn't all that great. But quite frankly, later on in the 1600s, the English people got their little Bill of Rights, and I mean very little Bill of Rights, but that came way later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
but,
as far as their constitution, it's right. awful.
Right. Well, I would say if somebody wants to make that kind of statement where they say this is what's in effect and this affects everybody, I want them to explain it and back it up and show me historically, legally, with the linguistic issue, because it's not written in English, as you said, initially, and all that. But they stick to the version that was issued in 1215, because there is a couple of unique aspects to that one particular version. That's all I'm
the
saying about it.
The only thing different that I noticed in that version, this is my, what I seen is, no, it was written in Latin. There was a lot of abbreviating because they had to jam this thing all in one page.
Right. Well, considering that this is Aaron's show and it's his time, Aaron, are you familiar with this topic, or do you have a desire to discuss it?
I know that it's hard. I mean, my take on whenever conversation drifts this direction, my general take is that we as humans live primarily inside our own minds. Our reality is subjective. And we write these little rules that we live by. We design these systems, but these systems are just extensions of our own minds. We're living in a time where the system is basically operated on a machine, right? The system, I think you could symbolize as a machine, like in the Matrix movie, but I think it's more and more literally becoming a machine. We live in our minds. We want to make the machine an actual mind, like make it artificially intelligent. And so in a way, we kind of it's this bizarre, strange process that I think we drive ourselves to madness, quite honestly, more often than not, because we live in our own heads and we don't know what to do about it. And we don't know how to quiet our own heads. And therefore, we've somewhat outsourced this process to our replacement, which we, I think, are all kind of excited to take the reins from us so that we can stop the insanity and finally rest once and for all. And by rest, I mean leave the scene of Earth. How about that? That make any sense, or is that complete crazy talk?
I would agree. No, it's not crazy talk. It's accurate of the, I would say, sociologically speaking, generation millennial, generation Z. Yeah,
No. That's it. You're heaping everything off on a generational thing. I think the Thanatos concept of
I'm
Freud is true.
In the middle.
No. Because whenever anybody focuses on one generation, it's a pet peeve of mine. This is a human problem that's intergenerational. We're just at our particular moment in time. And yes, different generations have different takes on the same damn thing. But we're coming to a culmination point of sorts. I don't want to say this is like the apocalypse, this is Armageddon, this is the end of the world, but I do think there is a Thanatos thing where we have constantly wanted that to happen, and maybe like the self-fulfilling prophecy might finally be capable. And by soon, I think even within 1,000 years, relatively speaking, you could call that soon. So we're definitely going somewhere crazy sooner rather than later.
Well, I was just going to interject that you're right. It's not just generations, because no matter what, you're going to find about half the people want to be taken care of. And to quote Anthony Fauci's upcoming feature film, Republicans don't like to be told what to do. All right, I'll let you close out your show. Sorry for bugging you.
No, it's okay. It's good to hear from you, Jimmy. So if you want to call into the Uncle Hour, please do so. Luckily, this show is almost over, so I don't have to talk about how machines are going to replace us for very much longer. Only a couple more minutes worth of that. But yeah, we'll talk to you soon, Jimmy. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Yes, it is the age of transitions after all. The internet is has been for some time just infected with bots just churning out so much material. And now with the advent of generative AI, large language modeling systems, we've improved that process quite a bit. And I think that most people should be quite happy about this because we get more content that we've been just soaking up already. You know, it's like so much of the internet to me is just like it's weird. Like you've got this, all the stuff that happens on social media has always been bizarre to me. And the fascination, the way that people get sucked in completely, I've always found off-putting. Even something as silly as like memes. I really don't care for memes. I mean, some of them are funny, and I don't think they shouldn't exist or anything. There's no pulling the genie out of the bottle when it comes to that. But there is this aspect of it's this weird – it's like its own language. And memes can start – they start by like being written in English and having pictures that are just like photos or drawings that are just easily interpreted by the human mind. But then as time goes on, they get more and more derivative of themselves and more self-referential, derivative, and novel to the point where if you just come into the – say you're an old man first of all, so good luck to you off the start. That's what I am, so that's part of my problem, I'll admit. Just imagine an old man, 65 years old, gets onto Twitter or God help you, some like 4chan forum or something ungodly like that where memes of that nature are shared. And he just looks at some meme for the first time and he's trying to make sense of it. I would say like 9 out of 10 chance there's going to be no way he can even understand what it is because it's some weird derivative, self-referential, bizarre thing with this art that's just disgusting for the sake of being disgusting, and he can't read it. So it's a whole new, it's like a whole nother language, and it's sort of like it's an emergent sort of weird thing that's coming from out of the digital swamp or whatever this thing is, this bog of digital It's like the primordial ooze of computers that social media crawls up from out of. We're seeing evolution of sorts. Like you could say there's like an evolutionary process there, and you could equate it to like life and its evolutionary process. I think there's a direct analogy you can use there. Not saying that they're exactly one in the same, but I think it's a useful analogy to play around with. And to say that machines are coming to life and that we're being reprogrammed by machines, I think is completely accurate. I think our minds are being rewired by these damn things. And so it is that the content sort of has been generating itself for a long time. It's been generating itself based off of demand. It's like it's a true like supply and demand. It's kind of like an economic system in a more pure form. Almost you could argue that's more pure. Is that like whatever people want to see, it will be instantly generated for them. And now, as I'm saying, that process is just being expedited by AI systems. It's like, oh, you like this content? Here, let's just get our let's get our ChatGPT programmed to just feed you this BS that you want to hear or see or both all day. It'll just churn out everything you everything that you think you want to see. Because again, it's like this weird symbiotic thing too between man and machine. It's not just one side or the other. It's really cyborg Cyborgian. So, I don't know. I just, every day I see this more and more, and, you know, I fire up the computer and I get on, and then I just wonder why the hell I even did in the first place. I mean, what am I even doing? You know, what's the point of this? And I don't know. Not to, I also am always constantly asking the question, like, I know I'm not the only one seeing this. Like, clearly other people see the same thing happening, right? And it's funny, a lot of people who were actually championing emerging technologies in years past are kind of starting to say similar things that, like the opinions that I've had for so long. I saw somebody post a podcast guest appearance by Ben Goertzel. Listeners of this show probably aware of who Ben Goertzel is. He's been a big singularity guy, an AGI researcher, big in the transhumanist movement. He's one of the major characters behind Sophia, the robot, making Sophia a reality. I do believe I saw him taking a nap on the side of the trail at Bryce Canyon, oddly enough. I'm 95% sure that was him sleeping in on the rocks there. But that's just a bizarre sort of coincidence that happened once. Anyway, he was on a podcast recently, and I suppose he's starting to say, like, I should really listen to it because I don't know. But what was implied, if I understood, was that he's like, well, yeah, he very much wants to see AGI become a reality and machines to become conscious and living and thinking and all that. But how do we get to what he would believe to be a good endpoint for that, like to make that happen and happen in a good way? How do we get to that point from where we are now, where clearly AI is being used for all these different ulterior motives, and how do we even get on the right track, so to speak, in that our own motivations in developing these things are lined up in such a way that we're going to go down the right path, right? And I don't know. I feel like that's what I've been saying all along. It's like, yeah, sure, you talk about all this wonderful technology, but look at the state of the world. How are we going to just automatically go, okay, technology is going to solve all our problems when we don't seem to want to even solve them ourselves in the first place? We don't really have any interest in that, because those who have the power to really make the moves are the special interests that don't want to see anything change. What do you do about that? You know? And maybe that's what Ben Goertzel is saying in this podcast. I don't know. I should check it out. I think Callum Chase posted that on a link to that on his, saw that on Twitter. Again, there's some useful things that pop up on social media, things like that I do find useful. But when it comes to like the machines reprogramming our minds, it's just a consequence. It comes with a package. It's a package deal. You go onto social media, you sign up for that. And yes, I'm on social media, so I at least I'm aware of that, and I understand that my mind has been twisted digitally some way, shape, or form, and there's no way around that. So it's just the world we live in. Again, we live inside our own heads. It drives us to madness. We don't know what to do with ourselves. But and that Thanatos instinct principle, whatever it is, that thing inside of us, I think, has forever kind of compelled us to bring us to some imagined eschatological point where things get to, you know, a true apocalyptic scenario, and thus you get this wanting, this forever wanting of apocalypse and Armageddon. It's what people want to happen. Evangelicals certainly want it to happen, but I think everybody does to an extent. And you can also philosophically say that the apocalypse happens every single moment of your life. You're constantly dying and being reborn, and you're not the same person you were 2 seconds ago. If you want to break it down that minutely, usually it's not broken down that small, but you can break down your own life, that you experience your own apocalypse from time to time. There's nothing innately wrong with that. But I digress. I think it's time to stop government hour and move into friendlier territory with the comedy show, which is known as Uncle the Podcast, which is the next hour of the show. Every Sunday, it's 2 hours. You get the Age of Transitions in the first, and you get Uncle the Podcast in the second. And so tonight's no different. You shall get that, and I'm glad for it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. If you want to call in and talk to Uncle, you will get the chance to do so in mere minutes. I hope somebody has a wrestler's phone number, because I know Uncle's going to be requesting one. If you do, we'll call it up and we'll talk to our wrestler. If you don't, we'll talk about wrestlers for the whole show, and that's just fine. Wrestlers are just like the rest of us. We're all in this same human experience, living things out. Reincarnation is real in that we are just yet another human born in this world, and it's kind of like the same life repeating itself over and over again. So to end the monotony, why don't we find a replacement for ourselves, right? Could be good. Might be the right thing to do. I don't know. I'm not selling ideas. I'm not pushing anything. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just looking at stuff. I'm trying to be impartial. So anyway, theageoftransitions.com is my website. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, seek or seek on.
The Age of Transitions.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilan from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. That's the oil's rule.
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
You're listening to the Ochilli.com radio network.
Ochilli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning. This is a Mercy broadcast. Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You're listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here it is, the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 292. We are at.
We're there. We made it to that episode.
Now, we have to ask these questions.
We do. Well,
has everybody got their phone numbers ready? We were talking about for wrestling acquisition.
And, of course, we always have our phone number. You could call in and join us, 319-527-5016. You will join the show. You'll be on here with us. We want to talk to you. Also, you can use Skype, Charles Ochilli, to hop onto Skype. Send Chuck a message. Type him one, and he'll bring you on the show. Or call 319-527-5016. We're live every Sunday night from Ochilli.com.
All right. Let me guess who'd be the first caller tonight.
We're going to find out. Call in, everybody.
Call in, and the lines are open.
They are open.
Ring, ring. Let's go.
We want to hear from you. But yeah, Uncle, you, what do we have to address here tonight? What's important? What is it that we have to deal with here?
Well, I had a guest from last week was asked about if they would find the phone numbers and start on some kind of caller and see if we can get some wrestling numbers up.
Yes. We were talking again, as we have before in the past, that one of your dream guests to be on the show is really not any specific professional wrestler.
No.
Pretty much any professional wrestler.
Anyone that's eligible to want to talk to me.
Yeah, and amicable. Yep, that's exactly it.
That's the word.
One that would be amicable in coming on to this show and just, you know, being a guest on the show. We're not picky. And so, you know, the idea came up last week, like, well, wrestlers must have phone numbers.
I got an example. Yeah. Sidekick here is trying to get Birdman.
I was. I did do that.
And you got a number, I suppose.
What I did was, after the show last week, I thought, what wrestlers, professional wrestlers, might we be able to get and that are still, like, you know, cool and, like, big names? And for whatever reason, I'm like, oh yeah, Birdman Coco Beware. I remember him. He was in the WWE in its heyday back in like the 80s, early 90s. He was always, I always thought he was fun and cool. And at the same time, he's not like at the level of like an Undertaker or like somebody huge like Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it's like, I'm like, it's conceivable that you might be able to get him on maybe. And so I just found him on social media. He's on Twitter. I followed him. I'm like, hey, and I sent him an email. I sent him an email request first. I'm like, hey, could you come on the show? And then I also followed him on social media. I requested other people, like, hey, follow Coco Beware and let him know that Uncle sent you. We'd like to have him on the show. Because I went to his website, Uncle. And there's a contact form. A lot of these guys are similar. They have a contact form, and they're expecting – yeah, because they're expecting to get interview requests from podcasts. I'm sure they get a lot of them these days. And so they kind of let you know. And in the contact form, there was a spot that said, okay, what's your show? Where's it at with the website? And what's the – I think – what's the verbiage? I think it's like, what's the reach of the show? They basically want to know how many downloads you're getting and things like that. They want to know your social media account, presumably to know how many followers you have.
That would be up to Chuck to tell them, no?
Well, I gave them an answer to the best of my ability. I'm like, here, this is our social media. This is how many downloads roughly we get.
Oh, you gave them.
And so these are the kind of questions when you try to call a wrestler, Uncle, that the wrestlers, they're – they fire questions back at you.
Yeah, I know. I knew that they were going to shoot back at me. Mm-hmm. But about what's one of the things to say, and they would like to talk, I'm sure, to know what they want to say. Mm-hmm. So it goes two ways here.
Yeah. Mm.
I reached out on Twitter for you, Uncle, and also on Facebook to a couple of wrestlers to see if I could get them interested. Is there a way we can contact you, interview you, et cetera? Because some of them have public accounts and some of them have, you know, hey, here's my celebrity account for me being a celebrity. So I reached out to, I think about six of them on Facebook and about the same amount on Twitter, different guys. And I got absolutely no response from anybody, nothing.
Well, we heard about what he did.
Yeah.
You guys, right. You got somebody coming in.
I'm in the same boat as Chuck, Uncle, because I didn't receive a response.
They didn't come back at you.
No, I didn't hear anything back from Coco Beware, unfortunately. And I'm not upset about that. I'm not like, it's not like a judgment call on him or any other wrestler that would be like that. I understand.
Now, just so you know, and just in case a wrestler's tuning in to take a listen tonight to see who's listening, you know, we got multiple people listening in Oceania, I call it, but it's Australia, right? In, let's see, Brisbane and Rivervale are the two towns I note here. There's also, Germany. There's a pub and restaurant that's been listening to us for almost 5 weeks straight. the network. five weeks straight.
Oh, man.
It says 4 weeks, 6 days, and anyway, that's how long they've been hooked on to the live radio stream. So they've been listening to the replays, the live stuff, everything for almost 5 weeks straight. In Germany.
Must got up to a certain amount of listening.
Those Germans, they know how to party.
Well, they're just, while they're drinking and eating over there, they're listening to us while they're serving food. And I don't know, maybe it's just behind the bar. I'm not sure. If somebody wants to send us a message from Germany, let us know what, you know, are you listening at the bar? Is it being played throughout the whole restaurant? Let us know.
I'll go a step further. If you're listening at that place in Germany, I would love it if you got a hold of us, and I want you to be a guest on our show. I want these German pub goers to be guests, at least on Uncle the Podcast. I want you on the show. Call in. I would love to talk to them. That'd be great.
Well, I tell you what, I can call them internationally if they give me their whole phone number. I can call them through the Skype and tie them into the Uncle show live if they want. Now the thing is, it's like morning time over there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. I think it's like an 8-hour time difference between us, and that's what makes it so difficult.
So I think they're eating breakfast at that restaurant right now, okay? But if you want to call in while you're eating breakfast and you hear Uncle...
They can still do that if they want to call in.
Well, no, but I'll call them breakfast. So they don't got to pay for it. I'll call them. I've got some international Skype credit, so I don't have to lay out money.
Let's hit some of the things, Chuck.
Give me your phone number. If you're listening in Germany, give me your phone number. I will call you. So you don't got to pay for the international call. I'll pay the bill because I got some Skype credit for international calls. So give me your number and I'll call you. How about that? There's an offer, Uncle. I'm offering to anybody listening in Germany.
That sounds okay, though. Because maybe this is a move. This could be a good move. Something can be moved.
Oh, yeah. It's a definite move.
Bonus if you're a wrestler in Germany, okay?
Oh, yeah. If you're a wrestler, holy moly.
And the other thing is,
I'll let them have the air for as long as they want it.
I'll
let him, if there's a wrestler there, if there's a wrestler there, I'll let them have the hour from my hour.
If it's
a wrestler.
Right, and I probably got enough Skype credit, I can carry that whole call for the whole hour, okay? Yeah. Now, the other thing is, just to give you the update, and then I'm going to shut up and let you guys get back to it, but we got about five listeners in Canada right now, different places. I'm pretty sure I know who one of them is, but what else we got here? Let's see. Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary. What is this one? Something Island. I can't read it. Anyway, Something Island is an island, I guess, off the coast of Canada, but it's counting it as Canada. I already mentioned Australia. We have United Kingdom, and it's numbers and letters that come together. I don't know what that means, but it's a location in the United Kingdom. And we also have one totally somebody hiding who they are, totally unknown, nation of origin unknown, all that stuff. Is listening on our stream. So I don't know where they are, but welcome. So there you go. Plus people all over America. I mean, obviously, we got Houston, Texas. I'm sure I know who that is. Let's see. We got California. We got Alabama. Let's see. Katy, Texas. Okay. We got Michigan. We got Washington State. We got California again. Another Houston, Texas, a general United States, which doesn't give me the location, just says it's in the United States. Another United States, Arizona, let's see, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Tennessee, let's see, Texas again. Okay, anyway, I'm just giving you a general idea who's listening. I know you like to know it, and we have a healthy amount of people on the stream tonight. So there you go.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. We got a good, that's good. We got a lot of customers tonight, Uncle. That's the point. I guess in that vein, why don't we just reiterate that they could call in, anybody listening or watching the live stream or what have you. Call 319.
How about it call and you're up there? airline.
You will be on air. Yeah. Join us, 319-527-5016, or type a message to Chuck. He'll bring you on the show through Skype, charles.ocelli. Type him a message, or 319.
There's our phone first call. Wait a minute. We got our first call on the line.
Oh, here it is.
Where are you from, and where you come from? Hello?
Oh, Jimmy James.
Aha! I knew! Ah! Jimmy boy!
He knew.
How come we have him coming back?
What? Would MMA count?
MMA?
You're talking about MMA. Oh, does that count?
He wants to mix martial arts.
Yeah.
That's a wrestler?
Yeah, you know what he does. You can have the
good guess.
I'd say so, yeah. I'll give that.
Good guess.
I know a guy down the road that did that. He even had a belt for a while.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That is like wrestling.
Should have had him pop him right up. Should have had him pop him up in the place and say, hey, get on the air. If you knew that.
Oh,
that would have been the first. You'd be the first. You'd be the first one to get something going.
Indeed.
If you had that.
Yeah, I should just get him to call in. Yeah.
That would be good. We would appreciate that. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Just to get something rolling.
It's
something to roll with some of these guys. Because if one gets going, like I said, then they'll start, hey, this guy ain't not so bad. Boom.
There's all sorts of ways to approach this, honestly. We could take the other approach where we like go more hardcore into like the booking side of the show, which I've neglected it for a long time, honestly. Side. Yeah, just going about finding any given guest you can. Just get guest after guest and keep upping your proficiency in just procuring guests to the point where you get better and better guests, and then you've had so many guests and of such high caliber that a wrestler wants to come on and like, oh, I want to be among the ranks of you know Mark Maron or whoever came on the show, you know, if you make it up to a level like that. So you know, there's all sorts of different ways to go about this. It's like, do we just try to get a wrestler out of nowhere, or do we go back to square one and do I start inviting everybody who sends me an email on the show just to say we had somebody as a guest? Because I do actually get some interesting publicity statements from different people that want to be guests, and I usually pass them over. There's been a couple that I've almost said, okay, why don't I just have them on? But then I haven't for various reasons, sometimes just because I'm lazy, but usually it's just because it's like, I don't know if that guest would work on the show, honestly. But, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like that going on that we could do, you know? But enough about that. Who has a wrestler's number? That's what I want to know. If you do, call in. You must have one.
Jimmy, you
must have found one laying around somewhere, Jimmy, right? Jimmy, a wrestler's number one of these days?
One of these? Just a number?
No, but I honestly, this week I was just kind of hammered with everyday life stuff.
Yeah.
I told you, you have to get organized. And I knew this wouldn't go out like I planned it. I knew it wouldn't happen. I just had that feeling. I gave you guys a test. And
we failed.
And you did. Actually failed.
That's all right.
I got to give it to you.
Chris Graves ain't called in yet. He was the chief promulgator.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, him too. Well, we haven't got to him
Chris,
yet. Right.
To Chris's favor, he tweeted out tons of like 20 tweets to these different wrestlers to come onto the show.
Yeah.
And I think I retweeted all of them through the Uncle account just a few hours back.
Oh, you did?
So for what it's worth, he's like trying. And again, that's a difficult road to go down. that.
Chris did it in public. I sent him messages privately. I was thinking, you know, and not the same guys either. I sent different guys messages. I think Chris and I got a couple of the same guys, but I sent different guys messages too. Jim Cornette was one that I sent a message to. I sent a message to not Superfly, but one of the other guys that one of the other guys that was with him at one point. God, who else did I send a message to? One of the guys that Rey Mysterio, I sent a message to.
Steve Mysterio.
Uncle was just mentioning Rey Mysterio.
I was just mentioning him.
You were.
In fact, I was listening to him on my phone. He was on my phone.
There you go.
I had a commercial thing about him.
Well, I picked a couple of guys who have podcasts. Now, I know that the Million Dollar Man doesn't want to talk to nobody right now. He's avoiding people. But I did send him a message, too, though. Ted DiBiase?
Oh, yeah.
He'd be good.
He'd be good.
Yeah, he's a little concerned about doing publicity right now because he's caught up in that whole scandal. But, I sent him a message anyway just to say, look, we're not going to talk to you about the scandal.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but...
I just want him about the wrestling and stuff.
Well, you heard about that thing with Brett Favre where he supposedly got a whole bunch of it's basically he got welfare money. He ended up getting welfare money to, like, you know, fund projects right through the discretionary block grants that states get. They got money out of, like, Alabama.
Yeah.
Him and Brett Favre were caught up in that. And Ted DiBiase was supposed to create an app for kids to get Christian scriptures on a daily basis. For his money, and because he's like a minister now. No, Ted DiBiase's a minister now. Seriously,
yeah, and, I knew he was very much into that scene.
But he's supposed to have made an app for kids to like actively get scriptures that are inspirational and apply to them on a daily basis. And he didn't develop the app, and it turns out that he was getting money from what do they call that thing? There's a name for it where it's the direct payments for money. For women that don't have partners or whatever, it's like a welfare payment, is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's got a name to it. Okay. I forget what it's called.
Oh,
got it.
Well,
yeah, interesting.
That's interesting.
So, and Brett Favre got some welfare money, and he built a volleyball stadium for like $2 million or $3 million, and Brett Favre gave the money back and said he didn't know that he was, you know. That he didn't know it was welfare money, but anyway.
It is what it is.
Well, to be fair with, like, Brett Favre, his kind of money. Now, the Million Dollar Man, I doubt he's got much money to play with.
Brett Favre, he's retired.
When you're dealing with tens and tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, he probably does have all kinds of people working for him that does this stuff.
But they had text messages with him directly talking to the lady who was getting him the funds, and where he's like, there's no way the public's going to find out where this money came from, he says to the lady in the text. It's a little deeper.
Well, then he's in big trouble.
Yeah, he kind of is.
He should be, yeah. He should be. There's no excuse. I see we have Sally Dahl in the chat room at YouTube, so we'll say hello. Glad to have you there. Saying something about a person in turquoise waving. I'm not sure what that means, but cool.
I was just sent through a message. TANF is the name of the type of payments. TANF is it. Yeah.
TANF.
Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. TANF, they call it.
I never heard of that, but okay.
There's something is saying other thing. I know.
But that's where the money came from, is the pot that money comes out when you have, you know, kids that are in poverty, the payments to their parents for, temporary welfare, basically.
Got it.
Now, I don't get that. Why would Brett Favre, who has to have just a crap load of money, do something so petty?
Well, because he wanted millions of dollars to build a volleyball stadium at the university where his daughter was playing volleyball.
That makes sense.
And he didn't care how he was going to do it.
That makes sense.
Well, I'm not making a judgment about that. I'm just saying that the money actually came from this, which is one of those. This is part of the controversy.
How much? I don't get it. Like, he could have just done it. Like, $5 million to him probably wouldn't be nothing.
That's what I was thinking. You know, but one of the common things with a lot of these guys who are super rich is that, you know, if they can avoid spending their own money, they do, right?
Yeah.
That's why they do fundraisers. You know, these guys show up at fundraisers, they get everybody else's money. And what did they do? They lent their time, right? They raised the money for it. So they're the fundraiser. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a lot of celebrities do.
Yep.
Instead of putting their own money in. They, you know, some of them put their own money in, but I mean, some of them, they just show up as fundraisers. You know, it's like, why was this guy or that guy at a fundraiser? You know?
Yep.
Sort of like the whole Sean Penn controversy right now with, you know, like whatever he's doing and stuff like that, and he's involved in this and that, but he actually goes and does stuff too. Unlike some of these other guys who are like, I showed up, you should donate money. And they have people do it. But sometimes they also facilitate money from, like, other places that have grants or, you know, discretionary money. So the block grants that are given to states, they have the ability to disperse some of that how they see fit to support, you know, public works and things like that. So under that awesomeness, this is how Brett Favre ends up getting millions of dollars for a volleyball facility, again, at a college, right? Mm. So, and like I said, Ted DiBiase was supposed to be building this, you know, app, which would, you know, give moral support to kids, teenagers, through, you know, Christian services, and that money was given to him for that, and came from the same funding source. So, there you go. But anyway, yeah, Ted doesn't want to talk about that right now. So I was thinking, you know, hey, look, we'll talk to you about wrestling, just wrestling. You know, I thought maybe that would be a good hook, but he didn't respond.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering about him, DiBiase. How does he actually carry that case around with all this money? And then didn't have to go into a match, but still have it by his side, not having nobody like going after him.
That's what he used to do. He carried a briefcase.
I mean, yeah. He used to
take
that.
Put that money in it. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how he used to do it.
I thought he used to have a sidekick that used to have a handcuff to him.
Yeah, that was Virgil. No. That was Virgil.
Well, that was Virgil. Back, yeah, Virgil, the bodyguard.
Bodyguard was one. Yeah, he had one. But what happened to him? I don't think he got rid of him.
I don't know what happened to that guy.
He went solo for a minute because they had some sort of drama where they separated.
Yeah.
He wasn't the bodyguard anymore. He was wrestling on his own as Virgil. And then I forget what happened to him after that.
I know it was sometime after Ted DiBiase lost the $1 million belt. Remember, he had a belt specially made.
Right.
It was supposed to be all diamonds and gold.
And it was that was it. Yeah. And that's probably where he probably lost it. His partner in there.
Yeah, because somebody beat him for that belt.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
What a shame.
I wonder whatever became of the $1 million belt. There's a good trivia question. Whatever became of the $1 million belt?
These are questions we would give up on it. I mean, ask.
Yeah, this is exactly what we'd ask him. Tell us.
That's what I'd ask him. Exactly what you just said, Chuck.
Yeah, $1 million man, tell us, whatever happened to the $1 million belt, $1 million man?
Right.
Yeah.
Since you've been carrying on that cash with him.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
We do want to
know. You told me last time you knew that some doctor in Southern Florida had bought it.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I would believe
what
that.
What is belt?
No, wait, that was the gun that killed Kennedy. I got all mixed up there.
No, that's his section.
I thought that was the gun that
do with.
Yeah, I thought that was the gun that killed Oswald. I think that was the gun that killed Oswald. Earl Ruby sold it, right?
Jimmy, that wasn't.
The Johnson 30-06 that was probably a shell. An expel case from it was later found on the roof of what, the court building, Chuck?
Oh, well, that's a whole other thing. Anyways, all right. So, anyway, I'm going to shut up.
Anyways, Lauren Hall or whoever had it last ended up selling it to that dentist that lived in Florida that was like a basically Ku Klux Klan member. Okay. You know, those Nazis.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyways. So leave it at that. Yeah, we got no response from the Million Dollar Man. We got no response from a bunch of these guys. And Chris tried publicly asking them, you know, hey, come on. And you never know. Sometimes you ask the right guy publicly, and they go, sure. Mm-hmm. They'll just do it, you know. So Chris's yeah. shot was just as good as mine and everybody else's. But anybody else who wants to go ahead and reach out to a wrestler, maybe you know one, you know their website, and you can contact them. Use their contact forms or ask them on social media, whatever. If they get enough of them, you know, somebody will go, hey, you know what? I've gotten a bunch of requests for this show. Maybe yes. Exactly. We should go do it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the point we're trying to get to.
You know what we've wheeled back around to, Uncle, is the Street Cream. We need their help.
Oh, yeah. Street again. Cream. What have you guys been up to?
We need
have
your
you
help.
Got numbers for us? We Street need- Cream. Hello, Street Cream.
What they can do is...
Talking to Street Cream.
Yeah, talk to him.
Street Cream, you got the numbers out.
Go get numbers. You've been tasked with it. Go get numbers. Do that.
Hello?
For us. Are they on the line? No, but seriously, like Chuck was saying, all they got to do is just like... I suggest follow them on social media, you know, follow them on Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media account, and tell them Uncle sent you. Be like, I'm here because you're on the podcast.
Yeah.
You should go on their show. I'd like to hear you on that. If a lot of people did that, they that is just
that
crazy
might have kicked
work.
It. Might kick some action.
Right. If it's more than just me and Chris, which by the way, I'm adding a caller via Skype. I'm adding a caller via Skype just so you know right now. But if we all bug these guys enough, if they get a handful of messages, it might get it done. So here's your caller via Skype, Uncle.
Okay, who's it and who's on this line? Hello? Birdman.
It's a bird. It's a Birdman.
Just a moment.
Well, I recognize that anyway. That's got to be Chris Graves.
The Birdman flying in from the north.
Birdman. We're just talking about you guys. What are you cracking up here, sidekick?
The Birdman.
What are you cracking up about?
The Birdman.
That man can't talk.
Birdman Robin Hood from
It's Robbie.
Snow country.
It's Robbie boy. I thought it was actually a wrestler talking.
No,
we're talking wrestlers here.
I retired from wrestling.
Oh my!
Long ago.
Oh boy!
This is another Birdman.
We had a discussion about, I don't know if you were on last week there.
No, I heard about it.
Oh, you heard that? About we were trying to get numbers for some of these guys and see if who would come up with some, and they all failed the inspection.
They failed inspection. Did you see the photos I made of you guys?
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Those were awesome, Robin. Very good.
Thank you for those.
Thank you for them. Yeah, we posted them to Instagram. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy how Chuck turned out as that pallbearer guy.
Yeah, that was very convincing. That looked like it was actually him. Like, you didn't even Photoshop it. That was cool.
Yeah, how'd you like it, Chuck?
I don't think Chuck is there at the moment, but yeah, it really came out like if you didn't even.
I meant to ask him that. I forgot to ask him.
It was quite seamless. That one was really good.
God, Seema now. He was me.
I got inspired by the talk there last week, so I thought I'd throw down a few Photoshops, you know?
Yeah, we appreciate that. And that really is a good way of promoting the podcast as a force to be reckoned with. Because we've got people making art.
People will look at it and say, this guy wants to hear some more. He wants to hear more wrestlers on the show. Well,
if you had a specific wrestler, too, that we were going to all bombard, I could make a photo of specifically of Uncle challenging that wrestler. And then send it to this guy. Birdman. Maybe I'll make one of Birdman versus Uncle.
You know what we could do is we could like do the video style, like the interviews they do before a match, and then we could like interview Uncle. Like, what are you gonna do?
Uncle's coming for you, Birdman. We're gonna bury you underneath giant rock.
Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Exactly. That could be good, Uncle. Start doing wrestling interviews ourselves. That could be a good way to get some notoriety going, too.
Maybe the way it took their way, maybe that would do it. Who knows?
What about those midget wrestlers from the 70s?
Is there any midget wrestlers still
out? Midget wrestlers?
From the 70s.
Yeah, remember those guys?
From the 70s.
Yeah, they're the they're some of the highlights of wrestling in general.
Yeah,
then there was, I remember.
Oh, I don't know why I've seen those guys. That was an awesome show.
There was
live.
You know who we should get is Doink the Clown.
Oh,
he had like a little person, Dink, right? Didn't he have Dink as a sidekick?
Yeah, he did. Matter of fact, I believe he did. So he did. So I do remember him.
Maybe we could get Doink or Dink.
Doink or Dink. We know what Doink to talk about. Doink. Maybe we'll get some kind of conversation, funny laugh going.
Could be good.
I got a question for you, Aaron. On your little world map on a video, are those live listeners?
Okay, let me pull that up first of all, since you mentioned it. Where is the
That's the globe from Ocelli.com. That shows you who's on Ocelli.com at the moment.
Oh, well. Yep, well, I got to give a quick shout out to Kelowna, British Columbia. Then I saw someone was listening from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Yeah, they were there. Nice.
That's where I lived for a while.
There was also Ottawa was on there in Calgary. Just a little bit
of screw those places, but Kelowna.
Be those place.
There it is.
I like Kelowna.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've noticed the globe has been like popping on and off all night. We got people coming in and out to Ocelli.com from all over the place. So a lot of activity there on your end there, Chuck. So
there is.
It's a good visual. I love it as a visual.
Mm-hmm. Big size moon.
Yeah, it's healthy at the moment.
Size big moon. It turned to looking at who's called, man.
Yeah, I got five people in Australia right now. Which is unusual. And
down under.
We got same amount in Canada, apparently, according to what I see here. As I was telling Uncle before, one in the UK and Germany in this restaurant, they've been listening to us for almost five straight weeks. They've had us on.
Wow.
What I don't understand, I know they're listening, but what I don't understand, how do not get a call up? The call in and just to hear the voice.
Well,
that's what I'm confused about.
It costs money to call from Germany, so that's why I said if somebody wants to message me from Germany, let me know. I'll call them, even on a phone. I've got international calling on Skype, so I can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, you're an intimidating guy.
It might be a problem.
Intimidating.
Okay. What problem?
The Germans, maybe they're not comfortable with their English ability, speaking ability.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that could put them, because people just generally that listen to shows, most of them, even if there's a call number, aren't going to call in because of all sorts of different reasons. First of all, it's just an act of doing something to actually pick up the phone and do it. But it can be unnerving for somebody. Somebody could get nervous because it's like public speaking, which people hate, generally speaking.
And they won't speak clearly.
Mm-hmm. That too. Mm-hmm. All sorts of things.
Jimmy, were you ever stationed in Germany?
No, I just went to Ramstein once when I was injured.
In Germany? Oh, wow. Interesting. How was that?
Not fun. I was just there as a patient, dude. I was unconscious, honestly, so.
They wheeled you.
I don't have a lot of German history.
They wheeled you in a stretcher to Rammstein?
I couldn't tell you, dude. I was in sleepy night land.
Fair enough. We're gonna add another Skype caller.
Ooh, we got another one.
All right. Now we're talking. Now things are getting interesting, Uncle.
This is Germany?
This is a caller on Skype.
Okay, on Skype, who is Germany?
No, it's not Germany. Not from Germany.
Who are you in? You're in there.
Not from Germany, and they just added in now.
Oh.
Okay.
Hello?
New caller.
You're in.
Hello. Jeremy James? This is Chris. How you doing? Chris Graves. How you doing?
We knew he'd show up.
Now that didn't look well.
Yeah, you should have given us a little German accent there, Chris.
That yeah, that would have been a good actress.
Wee, poo poo, wee wee. Yeah, that's French.
Oh God, that's French.
Wow,
French. Kind of.
Wow. What are you talking about? That's French. Hey, got him cracking up over here.
Yeah. Uncle, you got a pen and a piece of paper?
Pen, piece of paper.
I have a pen. Now I have a piece of paper.
If you're going to give them the numbers, I got them, but we're going to run out of time, so we'll have them for next week, those numbers you just gave me.
Because the numbers that I found for Diamond Dell's page, who does a podcast.
Oh, yes. I was asking about him.
I don't know if you want to give it out live on air, though.
No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, so we'll hold it. Because we're not going to give out somebody's number on air. No, not a good idea.
No. Wait a minute now. So, how are we going to?
One is the booker, and the other one is his actual home phone number. So okay. I guess you're right.
Hopefully.
We can't get that out.
So we're not going to give out either one.
Can you give him an inline, a line? Not a line out to him.
Okay, listen.
I was only going to give out the one that's publicly available on his website.
All right, we're not going to use it right now because we're almost out of time. So what we're going to do?
We're talking here, Charlie.
Yeah, you only got about 10 more minutes. So hang on. What you're going to want to do is call him next week, okay? We'll take these numbers. We'll collect up the numbers. I got them right here. Don't worry about it. We'll call them next week, okay? So if anybody else has more numbers, by all means, pass them to me. But we'll get numbers together, and we'll just call a bunch of people next week. We'll see who answers and everything else. But Chris also said he's got a booking number here. We'll figure that out, see if we can get hold of the booker. Maybe we can actually book the guy. Or maybe I'll give that to Sidekick, and I'll hang on to the numbers we can call live. Yeah, either way.
Yeah, I could send an email, yeah.
Yeah, so what you know, he's
tried,
got his...
And I tried like 20 or 30 other ones on Twitter as well, but no luck yet, Uncle, but don't give up.
Yeah, we saw yours publicly.
I ain't giving up, because I know they want to talk to me.
We saw yours in public, Chris, so I was talking about how you did it in public, I did some private ones, and I also went on Facebook to try and, you know, go after the different...
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard all that. Yep.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know if you heard that. So, that's where we're at. We're working on it. We're working on it, Uncle. That's what I'm telling you. We're working on it.
We're trying to do it for you, Uncle. We'll get there.
It's truly happening. These are the numbers that we spoke of last week. They're really
appearing. So they actually have the numbers, but don't want to send on air. I can understand that.
Well, the air has dissipated, Uncle. The air in the room is gone.
I almost have Kevin Nash, too, his number.
Kevin Nash. Oh, that's the Kevin Nash. That's the Kevin Nash that was in on NWO.
Yeah, that guy.
He's good too.
Yeah, he was in the Punisher movie too as the Russian.
I remember that.
And Ric Flair. Both Aaron and I have that number to call, but he doesn't. He hasn't returned a call in a while. Ric Flair.
Oh.
Maybe we can try again.
Nature Boy Ric Flair, you remember him.
And I'm trying to pinpoint Jerry Lawler, so we'll see what happens there, too.
Well, there's that.
Okay, keep working on what you're doing.
Did you tweet it?
Like you said, Chuck, we'll get back with it next week.
Yeah, Chris, did you tweet at, what's his name, Cornette?
I tweeted at him and everybody.
All right, I messaged him. I also tweeted him publicly also and told him, hey, any show you want on, come on. But I also sent him a private message when it let me, you know, because I sent
Sergeant Slaughter a private message, too, but I haven't heard anything yet.
See what I mean?
Is Mankind still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, is that guy still alive? Who's alive?
He feels like a good fit because he's kind of a comedy guy, too, you know?
Yeah, Lanny, wasn't he Lanny Poffo? Wasn't that his name, or was that a different guy?
I'm not sure his real name.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it.
Because he was like
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. He was like three different guys, though, right?
Mick Foley.
He was like Dude Love, Mankind, and Mick Foley, right?
Yeah.
And Cactus Jack.
And Cactus Jack.
Okay.
Yeah. Those were his characters.
He was always kind of a funny guy.
Right. Yeah.
This thing going on with this is very interesting because right now. Well, we're getting short of time, so what we have to do is continuing what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Keep on keeping
and
on.
Just see what we can get out of what we've got.
Right, because even if we called these guys right now, Uncle, I mean, you want to talk to them for 7 minutes? No, you want to get them at the beginning of the show, right?
Well, yeah, in a way, yeah, that's true. And they could take the land, they could take the hour. Always, you know, they can do all the talking they want on my hour.
There you go.
I was naming to tell, that was my aim, to get a load of these wrestlers and ask about. Much right. Like some have on broadcasts, and I can contact with the broadcast ones.
So we'll divide up jobs here. Sidekick will call the booking agent for this guy, and if we don't get a response by next week from the booking agent, we'll use the other number that Chris says is his home number. And we'll just call him at home.
Oh, definitely either me home, man. One or the other. Right? You want to catch him one of them.
Well, it's a plan. Hey,
had to be someone.
We got a plan. We got at least one plan, and we got another week to get more numbers.
Wait, keep working on this.
This is Ventura claims to be a conspiracy dude. Where's he at?
I reached out to him too, Jimmy.
Oh,
yeah. Any chance you guys got any women's callers? Just curiosity. Curiosity.
We got a woman in the YouTube chat here, Sally Doll.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
We do.
Sally Doll.
I reached out to Stephanie McMahon. I don't know if that counts.
Okay.
That's a lady. That counts if it's a lady. Yeah.
She has a man in her name, but that's okay.
Well, a man in his name. If it's a woman and has a name,
all right.
It's a woman. I mean, you know what I mean?
That's the rule.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing these days.
Yeah. He says she should.
It can be.
As long as she has an innie, not an outie. I got you.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I call tonight's show a success because we got wrestling numbers.
Well, we got the numbers. I got to. Well, you did a good job of getting the numbers, but next week, like Chuck said, next week we'll try them out to call them. How's that?
Yeah. I got a guy claiming that he has Hulk Hogan's cell phone number. I'll have to try that on there.
Call him up. Call him up. It's still early in Cali.
You don't know that he's passed.
I'm going to try that on I'm going to try that tomorrow off air. Separate,
yeah,
see if that's.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm being set up for there.
Yeah, sounds like trouble.
Could be trouble.
Chuck, you'll probably call it. It'll probably be. This is Dr. Fetzer. How can I help you?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Dr. Fetzer.
Dr. Mengele.
Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester? What's he doing? What's up these days?
I don't know. Was he on that show with that latest show about
the... Oh, the Wednesday show you're talking
The Wednesday
about.
Show.
Was he on that one, Uncle Fester?
Uncle Fester was on the Wednesday show.
It
was played by Fred Armisen.
I've never seen it yet. I haven't watched it.
Yeah. He's played by Doc Brown.
Fred Armisen.
Oh, boy,
Wait a minute. Fred Armisen played Fester. I can't picture that.
He played Uncle Fester.
Take a picture of that one. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Take a picture of that one.
You can?
I mean, you can't.
I can't picture it.
Yeah.
For one thing, he's way too skinny.
But voice is what brings it out, like we're doing here.
He bulked up, too.
The voice is what kicks it up.
It's all about the voice.
It's all about the voice.
Movies. Christopher Lloyd or whatever, he did a good job.
Yeah, Doc Brown.
Yeah, Doc Brown.
Okay, well, we are getting toward the end of the show, so Uncle, that
end
means...
of the show. We're having a good conversation going
here. Hey, isn't that the name of the game? Isn't that the way things go?
After we had a good conversation going, we have to stop.
It's time for shout-outs. It's time for shout-outs.
Well, Jimmy first.
Jimmy first.
And then go from there.
Who you shouting out to, Jimmy?
Oh, shout out to Big Paulie Pelosi. If he come through on any of these sweatshop deals or get a hold of some wrestlers, give us a call.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jimmy James, I second that. I'll tell you, if we can get that deal you were describing on the hats, you know, as long as it's American prison labor, we'll take it. How's that?
What is about the drop glasses?
Sounds like a deal.
There you go.
Well, they're made in America.
Well, at least they're made in America.
That's the important.
There you go.
Assembled in America.
Exactly, Robin, you're right. Assembled in America, correct.
Okay, well, with that, why don't we go straight to Robin for shout-outs? Robin, who you shout-out to, man?
I'll do another shout-out to Kelowna Boy there, whoever's listening there, or Kelowna Human, presumably Human.
Presumably, yes.
If they call in next week or sometimes anytime soon, I'll send them your book.
Ooh, how about that,
Kelowna? As I've offered to any Canadians who still have not called in. Come on, Canada. Get it together. Here's my promo. Listen up, Canada. It's time to pick up those phones. Dial with those weak fingers the number that Aaron will give out next time. And you will receive the great book written by Aaron Franz, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. Let me hear those dials turning.
Hoorah. If anything, that should get them going.
Take that. There we go. All right, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
We'll have talk to you next time, man. Take it easy. All right. Cheers. And then we've got Chris Graves. Thank you, Chris Graves, for the numbers, man.
Yeah.
Who do you want to shout out to tonight?
Can I shout out Vic Tabak, Gorgeous George, and Punky Brewster? Good night, everyone.
Punky.
You can do
Brewster. I remember him.
Okay, there goes Chris. Uncle, the man responsible for the numbers. He came up, I want to say he was being instrumental in coming up with the idea of the numbers, and then he delivered numbers. Oop. So again, successful show. Chris did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What a success.
So far, he's got the angle. Mm-hmm. He's got the angle of under getting.
Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. I mean, yeah.
He's got the Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle is what I'm talking about.
And that's I just want to say quick shout out to Robin, because that sounded to me like a good impression of Gene Hackman in the movie Unforgiven. How about that?
Oh, Unforgiven. Yes, I remember that show.
Do you have any shout-outs to give, Uncle? You want a shout-out?
Shout-out to you and everybody here to when we're going to get the shot glasses.
Oh, yes.
To get going. That's a shout-out to you all for that win.
Okay, so we can make the shot glasses happen. I'll just do a real quick shout-out to Coco Beware the Birdman again.
Oh, yeah.
Come on the show. Love to talk to you. The bird thing is more than just a gimmick. It's a way of life. Okay? I get that. So that'd be great to have the Birdman, Coco Beware, or any wrestler on the show. We're going to be calling those numbers, so get ready for that. It's going to be good. Our website's unclethepodcast.com. We're on ochelli.com every Sunday night. It's at Uncle Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Uncle, why don't you just go ahead and bring us home for the week here?
There's
292
episode.
Yeah, well,
bye-bye.